Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. We're all especially grateful this morning, are we not? Big concepts today that I'll tie into other big concepts. And you'll leave feeling a little more enlightened, I hope. At times a little confused. Hopefully motivated. We're going to pick off with the other side of where we left off last week. Last week, I did a show, and if you haven't heard the show, go hear the show. I did a show on the pineal gland, the seat of the soul, as Rene Descartes termed it. And my intention there was to give you something you could relate to Monday morning, last Monday morning, meaning that God put, nature put, evolution put, something divine just behind the ventricular system, the pumping mechanism of the brain, that being the pineal gland, that no doubt millennium of institutions have had a special place for. And I put pictures of the Vatican and the pine cone on the front stoop of the Vatican, the all-seeing eye on the back of the American dollar bill, made references to the pyramids, ancient Egypt, perhaps far more ancient than we suspect. My point was, mankind has always known that human potential is not merely some ethereal word that you chant in mass or in communion with whatever belief system you espouse. It's not just that. It's not just ethereal. It's locked into the physical body. And science today understands this on very deep levels. But that's not the science you're getting. And it's not translating to your doctors. It's not translating to your classrooms. But it's there. I'll tell you one thing. It was there at one time, if you could translate back long enough in Scripture. But few of us have the time to learn the ancient languages, because the ancient languages were not languages, they were symbolisms. Chinese medicine, but Aramaic, hieroglyphic, Sanskrit. If we trace language back as far as language begins, all across the globe, language was not what we understand it today. Language was something that was more akin to poetry. I'll call it hieroglyphics. I'll call it pictographs, not just words. And those words in those testaments, going back a long time ago, talked about the pineal gland. It talked about a place in the center of the brain that ran the show. Now, we know this is true today because we take animals and we cut the wires to these central intelligence spots. We cut the wires, the nerves, to the pineal. We cut them, and let me introduce today's show on the hypothalamus. We cut the nerves to the hypothalamus. We cut the connections to the pituitary. We play around, and then we figure out what these things do. So today's show is about the hypothalamus and the pituitary, the central intelligence agency of the body. And they are always talking or trying to talk or in communion with the ventricular system of the brain and with the pineal gland. you can get this symphony, if you can understand the orchestra, if you can understand how human potential is locked into these places, you've done well today. Very well. And you need to do very well today because the future may challenge you. And we all have that suspicion that the future will challenge us. Well, the theme of this show is education. There's an education you're not getting. Definitely as a consumer, you're not getting it. You're not even getting it as a doctor. So welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're new to the show, straighttalk.cc, 2ts.cc, get on the website, get to the archives, take a look at the pictures. Make sure you're looking at the pictures today. If you're driving and this is your first time, welcome. I'm going to describe things as best I can, but get to the pictures. Okay, where is the hypothalamus? Let's get some anatomy going here. Look at picture number one. Big, gorgeous picture of the brain. All those colored things there. That's the front half of your brain. You're looking at a sagittal cut. That's the side. If you take a head and you cut it in half and then you look into the side, that's what you're looking at right now. That's easy to understand. And if you're looking at that picture on the right-hand side, that's kind of where your nose is. Your frontal lobe is in the right-hand side of that picture, if you're looking at it, picture number one. In the back there, it's the back of your head. That thing that looks like a cauliflower, that's your cerebellum. That's on the back, just behind the back of your head. So you're oriented now. Now, where you see those colored little circles, that's the hypothalamus gland. Hypothalamus, the central intelligence of the body. And you're going to understand why. Does big things. Big things. Talk to that hypothalamus. I'll introduce a term. Talk to your hypothalamus. Don't fantasize about talking to your hypothalamus. Get in touch with your hypothalamic intelligences. I'll introduce a word, a phrase, an axiom, a concept. Talk to your hypothalamus. You had an opportunity last night to talk to your hypothalamus, but in your innocence, you just didn't talk to your hypothalamus. Or you what? You would have known that we were going to have a quake. An earthquake. Oh, that's preposterous. That's psychic. That's esoteric. That's occult. That's nonsense. How about this one? Go to Google and do a search. Can animals predict earthquakes? How many of you had cats? How many of you have dogs? How many of you have animals? How many of you have birds? Birds especially. Check the show last week. Birds fly magnetically. They know where they're going because they have a magnet in their head. That magnet is very pinealian oriented. It's related to the pineal intelligence. The hypothalamic pineal intelligence. The pituitary is an errand boy. It's clerk. The only reason you ever hear of the pituitary is because the pituitary is encased in bone called the sella turcica of the sphenoid bone. We'll have you see pictures of that today. And what you get with a pituitary tumor is a compression. As the pituitary expands out, it gets crushed into its encasement in the sella turcica, the Turkish saddle, as the Latins would call it, of the sphenoid bone. And this creates all sorts of problems, acromegaly, various sorts of endocrine glandular disorders. That's the only reason you hear that word, but the pituitary. For those of you who know the word and those who don't, the pituitary is a clerk. A clerk at 7-Eleven. It doesn't think, it functions. The brains of the organization is the hypothalamus. And if your hypothalamus is fortunate enough to be talking to your pineal gland, well, then you can start to understand health. So take a look at that anatomy. That's picture one. Now let's look at picture two. Picture two is a blow up of picture one. where those colored things were in picture one. Now, that's picture number two. Again, on the right of picture two, you don't see it, but that's where your nose would be. So if you put your fingers right between your eyebrows and you go back about 3 inches, you are looking at picture number two. And this is a sagittal cut, meaning you got to cut down through the head, open it up like a book, and look in through the side. And so you see on the bottom, the pituitary gland. You see where those colored things are. Those colored things are specialized centers in the hypothalamus. They're nuclei. We call them nuclei, meaning if you move from the green one to the red one to the green one to the turquoise one to the dark blue one to the yellow one, each of them is doing something else. You want to know where the fringe of neuroanatomy is? Would you like to know where the fringe of science is? The fringe of human understanding? The frontier? It's right there. You're looking at it. We don't have a science. We do not have a science yet that truly understands what's going on there. We have all sorts of interesting things that happen when we cut the wires to those multicolored little pieces there. When we cut them out, or we cut the nerves to them, and there are nerves through the autonomic nervous system, a word I hope you're very comfortable with. As we cut those nerves, those centers don't do what they're supposed to do, and all of a sudden, the little mouse in the cage is eating its leg, or it's not sleeping, or it's clapping like a seal, or it's running around and running around and running around the cage until it drops. This is how we learn what these things do, but the specifics of that, the mechanisms, the chemistry, forget it. We've got it, but we don't. But we know it's there. It's there. It's alive. And when it's not functioning, you don't function. You don't function intelligently. Now, listen, you can get on YouTube and you can get on Google and you can do searches on how if you get your brain mashed up in an accident, the hypothalamus isn't going to work and you're going to have big problems. Go do that. That's not what this show is about. This show is about, ultimately, it's about your potential to heal. But intermediately speaking, this show is about what happens if your hypothalamus doesn't function optimally, because no one's going to tell you that. Your doctor isn't. Your chiropractor may, if you have a great one. If he's even better than that, he may know what to do about it. Certainly your nutritionist will have only a marginal clue. And if they're trying to fix it nutritionally, they truly have no clue. But that the herb you swallow and the food choice you make in the interest of giving you energy or memory or a way out of your autoimmune disease or a way out of your cancer or a way out of your heart disease or a way out of anything, a way out of your depression, all those choices are subject to the optimal function of exactly what you're looking at, picture number two. This is not esoteric jargon. This is not nonsense. This is not something to forget about. This is not something like that flash of inspiration you may have had yesterday. How many people didn't feel normal yesterday? Normal. I mean, like you just didn't click. Like you just didn't know what day of the week it was. Like it didn't feel like a Friday. Like something felt off. Like you had extra irritation in your body. Like you stopped around 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you said, what is this today? I don't feel right. There's no reason for me to feel like this. If that was you, pat yourself on the back. At least you were getting in touch. Because you were sensing what happened last night. It was coming. And your animals are way ahead of us. You know why? They're not worried about their love life. They're not worried about who stepped on their foot. They're not worried about their place in the world. They're not worried about their rent. Cats are famous for it. Yeah, yeah. Dogs, too. But we kind of symbolize the cat. Because that dog's dependent. That dog needs you, or so you think. Dogs are very codependent. Well, not really. But they're way more codependent than cats. Lurking within every relationship someone has with a cat is the inner knowledge, no matter how good it gets, that that cat can take off. But that's why we love them. They're connected to something. They're connected to something that your relationship with them and the fact that you feed them can't misdirect. They're on stride. They're navigating on the basis of something profound. That is the same discussion we're having here today for you. And those animals will pick those things up. Those animals are not misdirected. They're not caught up in the nonsense. They're clean in that sense. These centers are old centers. They are old centers. They are part of the reptilian brain. The hypothalamus and the pineal were long functioning, long before we had a developed frontal lobe. And you can look at this any way you want, biblically or otherwise. The bottom line is, these are what we call reptilian centers. They function in animals. If you cut open the brain of a bird or a cat or a lizard, you're going to see these things function. And their pineal glands are very photosensitive. They're doing a dance with the sun each day, just as ours are. Only they're basking in the sun. Have you ever watched a lizard bask in the sun? It basks in the sun, and all of a sudden it's doing push-ups. You know those little things, right? They sit there on the wood of your windowsill. What do you think they're doing? They're just letting the sun beat up against them. They're taking that in. They're sending it to their own pineal. And however they're supposed to function, they don't have much conscious thought. Unless we have something to learn about them in that sense. They don't think consciously, but they function intuitively. Mankind has a special issue. It's brought in to figure out how to balance both sides, and both sides are usually one way or the other. You're either functioning intuitively or functioning analytically. Most people today, as we gather more and more electronics around us, are not going to be able to get in touch with the hypothalamic intelligence. All right, let's get moving here. There are those nuclei. Below it is the hypothalamus gland. Now, what does this do? What does it do? Okay, let's go to picture number 7. Go to picture number 7. HPA axis. If you're driving, you're looking at the relationship between the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and your adrenal gland. So we're going to talk about the hypothalamus's control of your glandular system. Now, check out any of my other shows on the adrenals, or the thyroid, or the ovaries, or the testes, or the prostate. Just look them up in the list of shows on my well-designed website here, easy to access the shows. Just go to list of shows and pick up these shows, understanding that the glandular system, you want to talk about the herb you took? You want to talk about the food you ate? You want to talk about the exercise you exercised? You want to talk about the laugh you laughed? It's all talking to the glandular system, the adrenals, the testes, the ovaries, the thyroid. They run the show. And the pituitary runs them, and the hypothalamus runs the pituitary. Science understands this. It's called a feedback loop, a feedback loop. There up in the upper right-hand corner, negative feedback loop. Hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal cortex. It says that your body's anti-inflammatory, cortisol. We synthesize that pharmaceutically as cortisone. So when you have a high inflammatory issue, whether it's in your lung and you can't breathe because you got bit by a snake, whether you've inhaled smoke, whether you've broken your arm, sprained your ankle, you're always getting cortisone, prednisone. Your body makes prednisone in the adrenal cortex of the adrenals, right there, just above your kidneys. Very little pieces of you, right above the kidney, in the back. And when that cortisol gets too low, when you don't make enough of it, you send a message. That message is sent chemically. The nuclei, the colored things in the hypothalamus, are always feeling, responding chemically to the amount of cortisol you're circulating based upon messages the hypothalamus gets about how much cortisol you're supposed to make. So the autonomic nervous system, which we're not picturing here, your nerves are talking to the hypothalamus as it responds to the amount of cortisol your adrenals are making. Okay, so last night at around, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, things started to get interesting. And those of you who have been through one before started to have a little bit of panic. Unless, of course, you're a newcomer and you think tremors are fun, like a roller coaster ride in Anaheim. Those of you who are in the 94 quake or other quakes, real quakes, not tremors, know what happens. It starts like that and then boom. So after about 5 seconds, you put this tremor in that category of, well, we're not going to get one quick hit. This thing's moving now. Once that happens, you sense this, and your adrenal glands throw a lot of cortisol into the blood. Why? Because you may need to go into a sprint. Should you sit behind your desk? Should you get under a table? Should you grab your loved ones? Should you make a phone call? Should you run out? Should you dive out? Should you go out into the parking lot where nothing can fall on you, but something might fall on you as you're leaving your office building or your house? What should you do? All this is going through your head. It's not the most comfortable moment, unless, of course, you're a bird or a cat. And those animals knew this was coming long before it hit. They always do. Check the citations in Google. It's legion. So you started to think you needed to get moving. And so you secrete more cortisol. And that cortisol is now circulating. And the hypothalamus, which is feeling that cortisol, it's getting messages from another system, the sympathetic, parasympathetic, autonomic nervous system, through different fibers that go to the hypothalamus that we're not showing you here right now. So the hypothalamus is complicated. That's why it's the center of intelligence. It's running a lot of stuff. What does it do? What doesn't it do? There's your question. Pineal's a little easier to understand. It actually is. It's more elusive. It's more mysterious. There's less research on it. We suspect there's something much, much larger, from dimethyltryptamine production to who knows what. But it's more concise. The hypothalamus, that is the CIA. It is the Central Intelligence Agency. And it may not be functioning optimally in you for reasons we'll get in later today. So as that hypothalamus is being fed by autonomic fibers, stress fibers, it's also feeling the amount of cortisol. And if it thinks you should have a lot of cortisol, it's going to keep telling your adrenal gland through corticotropin-releasing hormone to adrenocorticotropic hormone. Look at those two things on that picture. So the hypothalamus is sending messages to the pituitary. It's responding. And the pituitary is sending messages to the adrenal. And the adrenal cortex is putting out as much cortisol as you've got, as much as it can, for as long as it needs to, based upon what the hypothalamus is sensing neurologically and chemically, and then giving commands. Your whole body runs like this, every single microsection. And all of this is done at light speed and beyond. This is not a slow process. We are not taking a boat from the adrenal to the hypothalamus. This is being done somewhere between the speed of light and faster than the speed of light, but no less. This is not like you're waiting a minute. And that hypothalamus is doing this while it's running everything else in the body. Every glandular system is run this way. But that's just a fraction of what the hypothalamus is doing. Okay, good. You have a sense of where the argument is. I want you to use that when you have a chronic issue, a chronic debilitating issue. I want you to take that into yourself. I want you to grab the ear. What have I seen in here? I've had people walk in, I think, in the last 3-4 months with cancers, different types of cancers, terminal cancers. They think I'm going to give them an herb for that. They get a plea from me, a plea, to understand how to strengthen their body so their immune system can take care of a cancer cell. I don't take care of cancers. I don't treat cancers. I don't diagnose them. I have nothing to do with them. But people need help when they go to their doctor and they're told, not too much time, buddy, sorry. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant when you're going to have an organ taken out and the lymph around that organ. And then the decisions about the radiation and the chemo and then the literature. And then you get a statistic like a 30% 5-year survival rate, which means in 5 years you've got a 3 out of 10 chance of living and a 7 out of chance of not being here. And that's with some of the better cancers. So you look for help. You always look for help. And what do you find? Cleanse. Take that herb to help you. I'm not going to knock it. Please do not misunderstand. Nutrition is important. Forgive me for boring you, those of you who know the theme of this show, but some of you don't know the theme of the show. Half my listeners each week are new. Nutrition's good, but if you don't understand these concepts, you are truly delusional. And you don't have time to be delusional. When you're 50 or 60 or 70, you know the meaning of time. When your teeth and hair start falling out, when your skin starts sagging, when you start to see the signs and you don't like them, when you start getting proofed at bars, stop getting proofed, I should say. When you hit that stride, you know there's no time. So pat yourself on the back if you can get the essence of this. Definitely tell your friends. Anyone you care about, that's your exercise. You have homework. If you listen to the show and enjoy the show, you have homework. The homework is to grab somebody using your discernment and get their ear to the show. Don't live in your bubble. It will reward you if you participate in this exercise. Now, that hypothalamus, if it's functional, if it has optimal function, you've got some and one of the most core, fundamental systems at work, because the glands, which make the hormones, run the show. Look at this, picture number 8. Go to picture number 8. The hypothalamic pituitary testicular axis. It does this with the testes. And your testosterone level. It does this with what? Your ovaries. It's going to do this with your thyroid gland. Look at picture number 9. The hypothalamic pituitary thyroid axis. Busy little thing, isn't it? Busy. Very busy. Go back to picture then number 2. Look at picture number 2. Those colored things. They're running that relationship, they're running that relationship with the glandular system. That's the simple part of the hypothalamus. It truly is the simple part of it. That's not particularly complicated. That's not a complicated concept to understand a feedback loop. Here's where the fun begins. The hypothalamus is being spoken to at light speed by the autonomic nervous system. There are fibers through different tracks, different nerve circuits through the hypothalamus. And those nerve circuits, well, let's do this. Let's go to picture number 22. Go to picture number 22. Autonomic control, picture number 22. Hypothalamospinal and hypothalamobulbar tracts. Two different circuits. You can find these circuits. That's called neuroanatomy. Neuroanatomy is a subdivision of anatomy. So in school, medical doctors, chiropractors, osteopaths, I think they're the only ones that really get into dissection. Maybe the naturopaths in past year, but definitely the anatomists, the neuroanatomists. Have you ever met a neuroanatomist? I have. I was taught by them. I was deeply influenced by one, Dr. Mensa, like the IQ Society, Mensa. She was my neuroanatomy teacher in chiropractic school. And she would begin the class by telling the class that it was okay to fail, and half of you would, and that's what she would say. And of course, she had a reputation, and it wasn't a good reputation in that respect, because half of you would fail. And you don't want to fail, because then you have to repeat it, and it's embarrassing, and you have to have split classes then, and you no longer see your friends, and you've already been in school for a year, and you're already stressed from school. And she had a reputation, and on the first day, she would smile and very, very dispassionately tell you that it was okay if you failed. Half of you would fail. Because if you failed, you got a chance to see her again. So it was like Looney Tunes. You kind of felt like you were in a Nazi prison camp. You know that kind of teacher. They're out there. Well, you can tell, and you can see that when you look at the brain, you're looking at a different animal. The brain is one center of mystification. You can do dissection and simply dissect an arm and a finger, and that's kindergarten. Dissection is easy. You have a cadaver, you learn the rules, and you look at the pictures, and you ply away. There's a skill involved. It's an art. Everything's an art, but nonetheless, dissection of the human body is simple. The brain, that is another question. That's called neuroanatomy. You have to find the hypothalamospinal tract, the hypothalamobulbar tracts. It's another level. And you're looking at these things like the hypothalamus. Well, I tell you the story so you can deepen your appreciation for what she told me. I was fortunate enough to get an A in that class. I was proud of that. Why wouldn't you be? But what I had to do to get that A, I'm talking about I would dissect brains till my eyes bled. I made the dean give me the keys, and I'd be in that room sometimes to 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. I was there after the janitors went home. And it was amazing to get a sense of what's going on in that brain. And here's the point. Here's a picture, and it's basically telling you that in that hypothalamus, in that place of mystery, are these two nerve lines that are under autonomic control. The sympathetic and parasympathetic nerves are talking to the hypothalamus. You have to understand that. The hypothalamus is the relay point between the autonomic nerves and the glandular system, neuroendocrine. That places its responsibility on top of the pyramid. Outside of the pineal, there's nothing higher. Everything has to talk to the hypothalamus. that parasympathetic, sympathetic nervous system. You're looking at it. For those of you who are new to the show, you may not have heard autonomic nervous system. You've heard this is a nutrition show, so what would somebody be talking about neuroanatomy? By the way, Dr. Mensa said to me, she was taking her CPA, very, very smart woman. She was leaving neuroanatomy. She taught medical school, our chiropractic school. She was leaving to be a CPA, and I asked her, as she autographed my book at the end of the semester, I said, if you were going to do neuroanatomy again, I said to her, what would you study? What would you focus on? And I'll never forget it. She looked at me very clearly, and she said, the autonomic nervous system. That, she said to me, is where it's at. This woman had a third eye. I met her a few years before I went to chiropractic school, accidentally in a restaurant. And I asked her about chiropractic school. I never knew she was a teacher at the very chiropractic school I would someday go to. A lot of story behind that. No coincidences, right? This is where it's at for me. If I'm talking to you, I'm talking about this. If I'm suggesting a nutritional supplement, I'm thinking about this. If I'm watching you heal, I'm presupposing that your hypothalamic intelligences are developing. That's what I'm doing. I may not tell you that's what I'm doing, but that's what I'm doing. And you'll listen and forget and listen and forget and listen and forget. That's why I do the radio show, so I don't have to repeat myself. You can listen to the archives. I can do other things, and you can listen to me repeat myself. And I don't say that sarcastically, and I don't say it condescendingly. I say it because it's the truth. I say it because I love to see people heal. When people get in touch, they heal. On either side are our conservative allopaths who think this is all a lot of monkey vomit, not fit for human consumption. And on the other hand are people who are delusional. The esoteric, delusional people. The truth is often in the middle, is it not? This is down the middle. Down the middle means usually where you find the truth. If you believe nothing, if your instinct isn't sophisticated enough to understand, this is the level that you're supposed to think. Just consider this is down the middle. Those autonomic nerves, if you look at picture 23... I'm going to pick up the pace for you. Picture number 23, sympathetic and parasympathetic. The sympathetic nerves all throughout your organ system speed the organs up. When your heart has to beat fast, its sympathetic fibers are hitting the brain. The brain is sending out a message to the heart to speed up. Or something's hitting the brain and the hypothalamus is sending, like it did last night after you calmed down, messages to the heart to slow down. The wires to the central intelligence are the autonomic nervous system. Those wires, those tracks, follow them and you can figure out what's going on. Follow the nerve circuit. Well, there you have it. Two things, the glandular system and the autonomic nervous system. And the shifting back and forth. If you don't shift back, if you're still living that earthquake last night, well, certainly some people are. We call it post-traumatic stress syndrome. The people that lived through the tsunami last night had the world shook, had buildings falling, had most of Newport Beach been immersed. Would you have had the steadfast of mind? I heard the radio last night, people watching movies, giggling. The idiots on radio. I don't mean the people, the idiot media. Making a joke. Oh, it was, I didn't know if it was the movie. I thought it was the movie. Then I realized the walls were vibrating. And then I thought about the $18 that my girlfriend and I spent. And you know, I'm from LA, so I talk like this because it's cool. Did anyone have a semblance of mind? Did you think? Did you look? Did you know? That had Newport Beach about to have been submerged under a flood. These things don't happen, by the way. They can happen. This is America. Would you have the semblance of mind to go up to a fourth story? When you rent an apartment, do you have the semblance of mind to know where to go? Well, if you don't, and then you get hit, here's the thing. Your autonomic nervous system tends to just stay in that mode. Your hypothalamus can't shut off. If you're not talking to the gland, if the biomechanical mechanisms, cranial rhythms, flow of cerebral spinal fluid, the bite, patency through the autonomics, connection to prana, if those systems are not operative, the hypothalamus can't shut off. It doesn't signal correctly. PTSD. Some guys go to Vietnam and are never the same. Some guys go to Vietnam and come back saying, you know, this is sick, but I actually think I grew spiritually, and I got to say it was a good experience. I've heard vets say that. So have you. And I mean vets that have seen bad things. They could balance it out. Some can't. Some crack. Well, what's cancer? Cancer is a knock on the door. It's a Godzilla. Mrs. Smith, you've got 6 months to live. Now, figure it out. You better be talking to your hypothalamus. In other words, you have to know and have relationship with your shift switch. And I know some of you are sitting there thinking, well, what do I do? That's what the 150 shows are about. First thing you do to develop relationship with your hypothalamus is to understand that the cleansing is to get you patent enough so that your cranial bones can begin to move. Yes, that is a physical experience. Some of you that see me for counsel have had that experience. You've been mentored to that experience. That's where the hypothalamus gets very smart. Lose your teeth? That's not good. Imbalance your bite? Clench your jaw. Wake up one morning, have a pain, go to the doctor, find out you have a tumor in your liver, in your kidneys, in your stomach, in your colon. And find out that you don't have long to live. And understand that hypothalamus was not directing the immune system with impunity, with elegance, with precision, to the NK cells, to the macrophages. The hypothalamic scan, S-C-A-N, its intelligence was diverted, was misdirected because you're clenching all night long. Because there's a pump, the sphenoid pumps the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus sits in a bone called the sphenoid. I put pictures of it on the show. And if it's not pumping because the bite's imbalanced or because you're clenching all the time, look at picture number 31. Look at picture number 31 and 32. Don't even click it large. 31 and 32, the bones come apart. I said that last show, the bones come apart. If those bones don't come apart, if they don't come apart, you're in trouble. No patency through the cranium. Patency, it means it works, it flows. Biliary patency, it flows. Glandular patency. Patency through the autonomics. Patency is a word that means something's moving. A word that should be in your household. Patency. Cohesion. Flow. The biomechanics of you is functional, optimal. Look at 31 and 32. If that's not your cranium, if your cranial sutures do not shift, look at picture number 34. 34. Blow that one up. 34. Those are the bones of a baby's skull. The sutures have not fused yet. They really flow. Babies flow. Then those joints fibrose. They even get arthritic. They fuse. Oh, that's normal. No, it's not normal. It's observed commonly. It's not normal. It's abnormal. Being old is abnormal. Yeah, it is. If you're old and you feel bad and you're old, that's abnormal. It's not your fault. It's not a condescension. But you don't say, oh, I'm 70. This is what happens. Don't do that. Say that when you're 120. I'm not being metaphysical. Your sutures don't have to fuse. Healing is cleansing and then addressing your biomechanics, your breath, your flexibility, so that those sutures open up. So that what? So look at picture number 30. Picture number 30, the sphenoid bone. Look to the left, 30. There's something sitting in that. It's sphenoid bone. In the sphenoid bone sits the hypothalamus and the pituitary. The pituitary literally, and above it, the hypothalamus. The sphenoid moves. Look at picture number 28. Picture 28. If you're driving, I'm sure you're listening. Sorry, I can't give you the pictures. When you see the pictures, if you haven't seen the pictures, you'll know why I have to get you to the pictures. So go to the website, straighttalk.cc. By the way, I have one spot left. We have 25 people for a gathering tomorrow. I have one spot. We're going to really expand on these topics, put it all together. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. I don't know. If this doesn't grab you, maybe you're like those people last night in the movie theater that are listening to the world shake and thinking about their $18. A lot of people are like that. You know, when the bad guy, the boogeyman's in the upstairs, and instead of running out into the street, you walk up the stairs because you're curious. Those people in the science fiction shows, that's what you call reptilian. There's no consciousness there. Don't understand that. Really just don't. I mean, I understand it. It's amazing to see it. Amazing to see it last night. Amazing to watch people's reactions. Look at that picture. Again, picture 28. Back of your head. Take out the occipital bone. Now look into that. You see the sphenoid? You see that thing in the center of the sphenoid? That's the cella turcica. That's where the hypothalamus and pituitary live. The pineal's just behind that. Guess what? That sphenoid bone moves. It moves when you move. It moves when you can stretch your jaw. It moves when your posterior cervicals can move. It moves when your first cervical vertebra can move. It moves when your cranial bones can move. It moves when you move. You were just looking for an herb? You know what? I didn't forget you. Forget this show. Picture number 25. There it is. This is really what I make these drops here. The pineal pituitary hypothalamic drops. Forget all this jittery nonsense you've listened to for the last 48 minutes and just buy this today. The pineal pituitary hypothalamic drops, homeopathic formulas that upregulate the precise function of these glands. Listen, if it worked, I would just do shows on this stuff. It helps. It helps. The Kool-Aid revolves around the misinterpretation. That's where the Kool-Aid is. Why has not American nutrition drilled the last 48 minutes into your head for the last 40 years? This lecture has been done for at least 10,000 years. As far back as Egypt, these concepts have been understood. So what have we devoted the last 40 years of health and holistic nutrition and not given you this? Because if you do this, then those drops help. Whoever those drops are, whoever makes those drops, I'm sure that person is a sincere, well-intended individual that wants to help with a homeopathic formula. Great. Homeopathy is fantastic. Understand this. You don't cure with that. Your body cures you if you put the systems in alignment and you take it to the point where the hypothalamus begins to move. It has to vibrate symmetrically as the sphenoid moves in relation to the teeth, the jaw, the upper cervical spine, your thoughts. And the reason you're cleansing, the reason you're cleaning and cleansing is because all those tissues will decay and grow sediment and fibrotic grit and fibrin and garbage in between the cell spaces and inside the cell. So there is a place for nutrition, but that's not where you see the rubber meet the road. It isn't, I promise you. You cannot take the system of nutrition, pull it out independently of the greater whole, and expect to see the job get done. This is what we do in America. Unfortunately, this is what we do today with holistic medicine throughout the world. We're trying to make a symphony by playing one musical instrument with one note. It doesn't work. Here's something fascinating. I'm going to call you to picture number 34 once again. Picture number 34. I know there's someone out there that's going, okay, I love this show, but what do I do now? Well, to that person or people, I just fell off my chair. I want you to know that. Truly. If you're thinking that, I want you to know I'm about to faint. Truly. There's just no excuse. Well, okay. If you've listened to the show, if this is your first time listening to the show, then you have an excuse. Get to the website, especially listen to my free show on the homepage. You don't have to pay a dime. Just listen to 1 hour of that. If that doesn't grab you, go back to your movie in the movie theater. But that aside, listen to that show. Get on the archives. Because you got to work with this stuff. I agree. But for those of you who have listened before, and many of you have, you know what to do. Cleanse your tissues. Pull your joints apart. Feel the electrical force of your body, and get sensitive to some form of guidance that comes out of that. We might say your spiritual message intensifies. We might even say you're beginning to feel illuminated. Well, somebody did. Picture number 35. Yeah, I'm going to call you to it again. The back of a dollar bill. What is that doing there? The Great Seal. What is that? Is that a cult? Is that like an occult sort of a demonic statement? What is that doing there? I don't care who you are. Christian, Jew, Muslim, communist, socialist, constitutionalist, rhino Republican, Tea Partier. You all, we all in America have to look at what is that doing there? Right, that's pretty mysterious. Okay, it's just arbitrary. It doesn't mean anything. Some guy thought it looked cool to put a pyramid, an Egyptian pyramid, on the back of an American dollar bill with an all-seeing eye and a halo around it. In God we trust. In God we trust. And that. I'll just ask you to consider something. I'll ask you to consider that whoever put that there has an understanding that there's something that we call the pinealian intelligence, very related to the hypothalamus, that's capable of giving us a deep, abiding relationship with something wonderful, which I think is what the United States government was suggesting when they put this on the back of their dollar bill. That this had meaning, that this was backed by gold. At least when they did this, it must have been. I hope it was. And that meant something. That's what it's doing there. And we call it the Great Seal. Why is it great? Why? I'll leave that to you before you desecrate the concept with thoughts that this is just occult, demonic nonsense. Picture number 36, the Vatican. Just a pine cone in the middle of nowhere, and yet 4,000 years earlier, the Egyptians are doing the same dance and definitely intending it to mean, I have those pictures from last week's show, I didn't put them today, definitely intending it to mean something pinealian about it. Just a coincidence. Here's the killer. This is just fascinating. Really. I am knocked off my seat right now with enthusiasm. Look at this. Picture 34. Now, there it is, an infant skull. Picture 34, lambdoid suture, posterior fontanelle. Look where the purple bone is and see that space there. It's called the posterior fontanelle, the lambdoidal suture. A superior view of a newborn skull showing the fontanelles, the soft spots. That's right. When a baby's born, you can take your finger and you can stick your finger right through the bones of its skull, right into its brain. You could do that. You wouldn't do that. It would be horrible to do that, but you could. It's a soft skull. When that fuses, look at picture 33. Now there's it fused. Lambda. Lambda. You know what lambda is? It's the Greek word for wavelength. So, picture number 38. Wavelength. Wavelength. Lambda. Why did they give lambda? Lambda means wavelength. Why do they call it the lambdoidal suture? Where is that suture in relationship to the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the pineal? Ah, now you know what I'm getting at. Now you know what I'm getting at. There's a hole there called lambda. If you do the right thing, if you truly get health, one of the late stages is that the skull softens and that posterior fontanelle opens. It begins to soften to take in the universal rays. And it hits the pineal in union with the hypothalamus, and something very special happens, a transillumination, which is why Descartes called the pineal the seat of the soul. That's it. Dr. Vincent Medici, one more student, a good student. Not a slacker. 714-850-1007. Have a great week and watch your back.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.